This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
The AEC industry has been slow to adopt change for quite some time, but the evolution of technology is forcing a rapid transformation, whether you're ready or not. Leading the charge are a wave of innovative companies whose mission is to solve a variety of unique challenges that the industry faces. But if you're a startup with a groundbreaking idea for the AEC industry, getting off the ground can feel impossible. Enter the Trimble 0 to 60 Challenge, a transformative program designed to bridge the gap between visionary concepts and real-world application. The program is a launchpad where early-stage companies gain access to cutting-edge technologies, expert mentorship, and a global network of industry leaders.
Working with companies like Hypar, TestFit, Monograph, Tonic DM, Trax, for example. These type of companies, what they're looking for essentially is introduction to customers. We also learned that they need to help with go-to-market strategy. So we try to leverage some of our resources as a large organization.
That was my guest, Herman Aparicio. I'm Demetrius Lynch, and this is Spaces, the podcast where we explore the forces that shape our spaces and how they shape us. Thanks for coming back, everybody. In today's episode, we're joined by Herman, or German, Aparicio Jr., Program Manager of Early Innovation and Partner Development at Trimble. With over a decade of experience in the AECO industry, German co-founded Trimble's 0 to 60 Accelerator Program, which helps early-stage startups scale innovative solutions for the design and construction sectors. German shares insights into the 0 to 60 Challenge, highlighting how the program connects startups with Trimble's vast resources to drive industry transformation. We expand the conversation a bit to discuss the growing role of AI, collaboration between startups and industry giants, and how emerging technologies are shaping the future of architecture and construction. And we'll get into all of that after this break. right, German, thank you for joining me again. It's good to connect back with you. Full disclosure, we were college classmates so many years ago. so good to see you again. It's been a while. And I'm glad to have you on to talk a little bit about the 0 to 60 challenge through Trimble, which is a really cool program that I've seen over the last few years. Been watching you guys from afar. Very much needed program. So I'm happy to chat with you about it and learn a little bit more, because being on a fly on a wall, I know I don't understand all of it. So happy to have you on, German.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here today.
Give our audience a little bit of a insight into who you are, and then a little bit on Trimble and the 0 to 60 challenge.
Sure. So yeah, German Aparicio, or Germán Aparicio. I met at Cal Poly Pomona. So my background is in architecture. Also went on to get a degree in design and computation. And so I spent a big portion of my career working at leading design engineering firms before joining a company called Gary Technologies back in 2014. And so I was maybe one of the last hires at Gary Technologies before it was acquired by Trimble. Trimble acquired Gary Technologies for a software solution called G-Team back then, now Trimble Connect. And this was a software that was designed for the AEC industry to share building information across project teams around the world, which was much needed. You know, today we consider them common data environments, but was much needed in the industry back then when we were sharing files in the form of SVN or FTPs, which is the way that software developers would share information, but nothing specific to our industry, right, that would host 3D building information models, which is the way that Gary Technologies worked to deliver projects. And so, Trimble acquired Gary Technologies for that software and also for the consulting group called Gary Technologies, and became Trimble Consulting. So I spent 10 years of my career after acquisition working around the world implementing both Trimble non-Trimble technologies on building projects, and had the fortune on working in some incredible works. And somewhere along the way, co-founded this accelerator program, a startup program in the form of accelerator called Trimble 060. And last year ran a pilot project with the SketchUp team, which is one of our business units, on scaling this program up in the form of a challenge and working with startup companies to develop integrations on top of a Trimble solution. So excited to share more of that with you today as well.
When you guys started the 0 to 60 program, for some reason, I feel like you had cohorts that came in, but I don't remember it being like a big application process to promote to everybody. Am I remembering that correctly? And has it evolved kind of since then?
Great question. We co-founded this accelerator program in 2018, right, to work with startup companies coming from consulting, working on projects around the world, developing bespoke technologies project to project, that at the end of a project, we would essentially throw away the technology and figure there's got to be a better way. Why not partner with startup companies to develop solutions that could be leveraged, you know, across the industry? And so we co-founded this accelerator program, taking some of my experience from my time in grad school at MIT and also spending some time in the Bay Area working with some of the leading firms, including AirUp, AECOM, and Autodesk in San Francisco, thinking that we could start our own accelerator program here in Southern California. We didn't have anything industry specific back in 2018. You know, you had accelerator programs like Y Combinator, which is the gold standard. The challenge with that type of program is that they don't have, you know, subject matter experts in-house. They really leverage their network. So I wanted to see something like that in our industry. And so we co-founded this accelerator program. And the motivation behind that, again, was to partner with startup companies in developing technologies that would really help transform the industry. And so to your point, you know, we were working with 2 to 3 companies at a time in 2018. Worked with companies like Hypar, TestFit, Monograph, Tonic DM, Trax, for example, to develop solutions. They already had existing solutions. So work with them, leveraging our resources at a large organization. We learned from them a ton, that these type of companies, what they're looking for essentially is introduction to customers. So we're able to introduce them to some of our own customers. We would have things like demo days, closed door, open door demo days, and introduce them to customers. We also learned that they need help with go-to-market strategy. So we try to leverage some of our resources as a large organization. Being a company of smaller companies, a lot of the companies that are part of Trimble were acquired by Trimble, like Gary Technologies. SketchUp came from Google, for example, Tekla, and other business units. So leveraging those resources, a lot of the founders are still at Trimble, leveraging their experiences and linking them as mentors to some of these startup companies. So in working with these companies, two or three companies at a time, after a few years, wanted to scale this program up and turn it into a proper corporate accelerator program, reach out to the ventures team and join them to work with their portfolio of companies and also to scale this program up. And last year we did that in the form of a challenge. So teamed up with the SketchUp team, which is one of our business units, to launch this initiative and work with 9 startup companies to develop integrations on top of SketchUp. And based on the success of that program, decided to do that again this year with the focus on Trimble Connect. So kind of bring everything full circle, based on the technology that Gary Technologies was acquired for, and developing initiative that develops solutions on top of that tech as a kind of attempt to create this ecosystem of solutions.
Now, before we get into the actual challenge a little bit deeper, you've been sort of a fly on the wall to these great companies that have pretty much are standing pretty well on their own and quite successful. What are a few things that you've seen from them that they had the good building blocks to turn that into something?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of the founders that we had the pleasure of working with come from interesting backgrounds themselves. A lot of them are first-time founders, also come from the industry. So they're either trained in architecture, engineering, or have worked at some of these software companies that I mentioned, including Trimble, Autodesk, and others. And so in terms of building blocks, they've had their own success in their careers, developing various solutions, having worked at some of these organizations and then spinning out, taking the leap of faith and starting their own companies. And so it's been really awesome working and inspiring really to work with these founders who have just kept at it year after year. It's been since 2018, I want to say 7 years that these companies have been at it and have pivoted along the way, not just in terms of solving industry solutions, but also adapting to market changes, adapting to a lot of the tech changes, 2018 seems like a long time ago in today's world where things are changing every day. So watching them kind of grow and building on top of the foundations, coming from their background and really try to solve the challenges of the industry and work with addressing customer pain points has been really inspiring.
When they've gotten into your program and you guys have paired them with whichever expert is most necessary, what are a few things that you've seen help those entrepreneurs take their software or their idea to the next level? Any tips that people can kind of peel away from you right now without being into the program?
A lot of these companies, they have incredible solutions. They already have, most of them have a customer base. And so we just try to, they need help in different areas. So I think I mentioned before, sometimes they just need introductions to customers, So we're able to introduce some of our strategic customers who are open to innovation and working with startup companies. A lot of companies are risk averse. They want proven solutions before they're able to adopt it on a project. There's others that are early adopters, and have maybe a pilot project where they can implement some of this tech. And so finding the right customer to team up with these startup companies and develop solutions together, I think is a big part of that puzzle. But other startup companies might need help with, I mentioned, go-to-market strategy, like how you scale that up. And I think Trimble has a big success rate in doing that and has various channels to reach a large audience. Some other startups might just need marketing help, right? So these type of initiatives like the Trimble 060 Challenge are important because they bring, you know, share some spotlight to these startup companies. And we try to do that through various channels, including podcasts like these, where I'm able to talk about these various startup companies and give a shout out to the various companies that we've worked with, but also, you know, mention them in our social media channels and then give them a platform at our annual conference where they're able to showcase their solutions and the work that we're doing together. But a lot of the real magic behind this program, we can get more detail about it, is, you know, the time that we get to spend together and kind of thought leadership, sharing of ideas in the workshops and the sessions and the 12-week period over the summer. We're building these integrations and going back and forth kind of through the structure that we've set up at Trimble.
Let's dive into that, the program, a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about how that works. And I know there's some dates. You guys just opened the application process, or did it? Yeah, the application process just opened up, I think, at the end of March. What are the next upcoming dates, which we'll mention again at the end? And then tell me a little bit about how that program works once everybody's submitted their applications.
Yeah, so we started as kind of an accelerator program, right? We're working, as I mentioned, with 2 to 3 companies at a time. Last year, joining the ventures team, scaling this up, we teamed up with the SketchUp team to work with a large number of startup companies. So we launched in the form of a challenge. So we launched this initiative last year in March. I had a call for application similar to this year, work with 9 startup companies. We selected, right, of all the applicants, 9 companies to work with to build integrations. And we had a kickoff in July where we invited these companies to our Westminster offices. That's where we're headquartered at. And had the startup companies present to our leadership team, talk about the solutions that they were working on, and also had our leadership team present back to them about the various Trimble offerings, and also a little bit about our culture, you know, being a company of companies, sharing that with the startups that were participating. The real meat of that event was the workshop where we got together with our subject matter experts in engineering and product management, UI, UX design, maybe market strategy, to kind of whiteboard what their integrations would look like as part of a specific workflow. So last year we had 3 categories, which was, I want to say, design, collaboration, and one other category that I'm forgetting at the moment, but had these companies develop, you know, integrations in those space on top of SketchUp as a platform. And after the event, spent 12 weeks together with our subject matter experts in creating these solutions, where we have like weekly checkpoints in the form of office hours. We answer technical questions or business related questions, or we have presentations from some of our team members. So like a lot of startups, you know, given that they're first time founders, wanted some insights on into fundraising. So we invited like part of our VC network to fund early stage companies to come and present on what they look for in a company, and like what are some metrics that they're looking for these companies to achieve to be able to fund them in their pre-seed or seed stage. And then the ventures arm, which focus on Series A through D, kind of more growth stage, like what is that they look for when making an investment. So bringing those type of insights, right, to these weekly meetings and having checkpoints at milestones. So 6-week check-in, 12-week check-in were good points to get an idea of where the solution stood before we showcased them at our annual conference in November, Las Vegas, in front of, 500 attendees. The conference draws over 7,000 people each year, but our session itself where we had the startups present, essentially we're a group of 500 people, and then it gets shared you know, online and everywhere else. So this year, to answer your question, we're, based on the success of last year, running the challenge again. In addition to Trimble, you know, leading that challenge, we had some sponsors. I was taking a step back, sorry. Sponsors that help with that initiative. So we had NVIDIA, HP, Canvas, Chaos, AWS, to name a few companies involved in that initiative and showcasing solutions at our annual conference. And then we awarded 3 cash prizes to the top solutions. So first place took home $35K, second place took home $25K, and third place took home $15K. But I think the real value in that program was being able to work with these startup companies, and I mentioned, in thought leadership and trading ideas and solving solutions for our mutual customers, hopefully for the industry. Those top solutions were also showcased on our marketplace. And one of them, for example, received 30,000 downloads in like the first few weeks. So this was a Gen AI solution for interior designers, which was really interesting to see how much kind of appetite for those type of solutions exist today and continue to exist. This year's focus is on Trimble Connect and 3 categories. So that'd be connected design, connected data, and connected field or job site. And again, targeting entrepreneurs, developers, startup companies to develop solutions on top of Trimble Connect. And to your point, just launched our call for applications late last month. It will be open through end of May. And so right now going on a roadshow campaign to reach as many startups as possible to participate in this program. One thing that we are trying to do different this year is also bring a customer voice on board. So working with some of our strategic customers to participate in this event to validate the solutions that startup companies are building and work together and maybe showcase them together at our annual conference again in November.
Just to kind of clarify, we're looking at solutions in the architecture, engineering, construction, operations space of solutions that layer in on top of Trimble Connect. Is that right?
Yeah. So if you think of Trimble Connect, right, as a common data environment, there's a nice article written by one of my colleagues on how that's kind of evolved as an idea from connected data environment where you would host like your source of truth, right, your 3D data assets for project delivery, to maybe a connected data environment where you have third-party solutions integrated, you know, on top of that platform for various workflows, moving to like a ecosystem. Connect the data ecosystem where you can have third-party solutions and others, maybe in the future, even AI agents, right, that integrate into the platform for project delivery and various workflows.
Now, should applicants have a hope that Trimble acquires them, or is this purely just more of a exercise in idea sharing and development to get you going, get your concept a little bit further?
Yeah, so this initiative is really focused for these early stage companies, right? So, you know, ideally, these companies have like less than $1 million in recurring revenue. You know, they were founded in the last 3 to 5 years. They might have achieved product market fit, but kind of looking to get to that next level. So should they hope to be acquired? I think various founders have different end game hopes, right? Or their exit strategy might vary. Some companies, they're looking to compete with incumbent organizations like Trimble, Autodesk, and Procore, which I think is very exciting. They're looking to be the next Quell. They want an IPO, right? That's one outcome. The other outcome is to, yeah, potentially be acquired. So this could serve as an opportunity for acquisition. So from a Trimble perspective, you know, we get to work with these companies that are either in partnership, develop solutions together, bring them under the Trimble umbrella and ecosystem to benefit mutual customers and developing solutions together. And maybe down the line, you know, opportunity for merger or acquisition. Like I mentioned, Trimble is a company of companies, so it's not unheard of, you know, that a company gets acquired. This is a way to build that relationship, right, early on and get to know each other, whether that makes sense for both parties. But also for investment opportunity, right? I mentioned that Trimble Ventures team. They're really focused on series A through D. So if once you've gone through this type of initiative where you found your product market fit, you've already done raising your seed stage round and kind of ready for that next level series A, you might consider Trimble as a strategic on your balance sheet, on your cap table for investment. So one of the criteria for the ventures arm is we don't lead any investments, but work with a number of VCs in our industry to serve as a strategic investor in this space. And so, yeah, I would say to any startup that would get involved, this is a great way to just start a relationship with the organization like Trimble, and like I said, mutually benefit some of our customers and where that leads, to be determined.
A little bit of a tangent. This is a great opportunity. What are some other ways that startup companies can pursue these types of partnerships with larger entities if they don't? You know, this is fairly rare to have this kind of entry point and an introduction into a large company like Trimble. Are there any other ways that startup companies could get connected to large entities that you've seen?
Yeah, it's a great question. So a lot of these large organizations, right, have a head of strategic partnerships or alliances, right? So shout out to my colleague, David Frankel, who leads those efforts within the SketchUp team at Trimble. But a lot of organizations, business units have somebody like that. And so there's some programs are more formalized than others. You know, there's different levels. So startup companies, I think the best way to get involved is either directly or working under a specific framework. So a lot of companies have development platforms, right? So you might want to build an integration. So looking for resources to create that integration, like SDKs, APIs, they have like a central repository where that's hosted, where you have can gain access to and build your integration as part of a workflow. Typically, startups build them if their customers are requesting them, right? They might be customers of that startup company and using some of the technologies. But something that we don't think about is that when we think about the delivery of projects or buildings, is that they require multiple technologies, right? In my experience of consulting, like a lot of the projects I worked on were delivered using hundreds of technologies. So in addition to Trimble product like SketchUp, Tekla, Connect, we would also use even some of our competitor software. So like Autodesk Revit and AutoCAD and 3ds Max, Procore solutions, startup solutions to make a lot of this information talk to each other, right? So it's reason why this initiative exists today is because, you know, we'd have to create bespoke technologies to make a lot of this stuff talk to each other. So one way to get involved is to build integrations using these company platforms, also leveraging their resources, getting introduced to customers, finding areas where there's overlap and mutual, you know, benefit. Like one of our mandates, again, is find that strategic fit where, and this is kind of a great way to develop that relationship and understand how the technologies work together and serve as part of a larger workflow that solve challenges in our industry.
Yeah. Wanted to get your take, because on my show, I try to kind of look at a lot of different inputs that are impacting our industry and the way that we design and build. And are you seeing anything, although we're early into this tariff stage, are you seeing anything with our economic environment or anything else in society that's sort of impacting the way that technology is evolving for our industry that you guys are keeping your eye on?
Yeah, I thought you were going, besides the economic environment, I thought you were going to talk about AI as an emerging technology and how that's playing a role in our industry, right? Because I think we're seeing kind of acceleration of the adoption of this technology. Like I was having a conversation earlier when I started my career, you know, went through a wave of like BIM adoption, right? In the early 2000s, mid mid-2000s, it was all about moving from like 2D to 3D workflows and adopting building information modeling for project delivery. It's why I spent time in consulting, connecting a lot of these things together. At the same time, big data analytics was a big part of that story, right? We're starting to create data sets, large data sets that would hopefully provide insights and inform the building of projects. I think today we're seeing an evolution of a lot of that with AI and machine learning, where we're able to leverage those data sets and not only provide insights, but getting to the promise behind that in providing recommendation system, predictive systems, right, to be able to make decisions in informed ways. So where I'm seeing maybe impact by the technologies and also the current economic environment is in the fact that it kind of accelerated, the adoption of the technologies, in that we need to be more efficient, right? We need to, in terms of operations. So I think what's exciting about this is the promise that you could be a small firm and competing with larger firms, right? The promise behind this tech is that you can be like it used to be that you needed, hundreds of people working on a project. I think with this new technology, the promise is that you could be a small firm and deliver a same complex project with 20 people, right? Enhanced by AI, then you could deliver a project with 200 people, right? And kind of compete at the same level. So what does that mean in terms of the economic environment? Is that because we're able to do that, we should be able to work more efficiently and focus on things that we're more interested in and do it hopefully at a cheaper price than we would have in the past.
That brought up an interesting thought. We were going through a period where all of the big firms were like acquiring all of the mid-sized firms, and it was the only thing left were really solopreneurs and then the large corporate firms. Do you think this AI and machine learning is going to bring that mid-sized firm back to some extent?
That's a great question. I would hope so. And why I say that is because, when I guess that trend where large companies were acquiring mid-sized companies and small companies under these large umbrellas was because there's a lot of cash lying around, right? It was like also these large companies would hit ceilings. Like you couldn't grow organically unless you acquired companies or merged with companies. That was like a strategy, right? To acquire customers, to acquire staff, resources, talent, projects. That was a way that these large organizations can continue their dominance, was by buying up these companies, which were owned by leaders in the industry and were essentially cashing out in their equity. So yeah, I love this idea that in today's world with some of this emerging technology, like you could build a company with one or two persons, right? And grow large enough to compete or partner with these large organizations and deliver projects, right, at the same level.
Yeah. One thing that I constantly hear on the AI front, both as a desire and a fear, is that AI will be able to draw construction documents. I personally don't think that will be possible, at least anytime in the near future. Do you think that can happen at some point? And will it be quick?
I hope so. Why I say that, it's funny. You're making me think back to grad school days. I had a professor who would talk about the make architecture button. Like one day you just hit a button that would just make architecture. And it was kind of a funny sentence. But today I feel like we're much closer to that reality than we were ever. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, so when you say construction documents, I think about just the documentation of a building project, right? And so we're getting to a place where AI and machine learning automations built into a lot of the technology that we, authoring technology, right, that we use to design buildings, which allows hopefully an architect to spend more time designing and creating spaces that make our experience here on this world like a better experience, better places to live, work, and play, right? So yeah, I'm excited about that future where we are able to automate certain things like construction documents. Also excited about the future that maybe moves beyond set of construction documents and going back to like the legacy of Frank Gehry and his vision to leverage 3D building information models to deliver projects. Like why is our industry still relying on 2D documentation on papers to document projects? A lot of the work that we did through Gehry Technologies and Trimble Consulting on some of these building projects, you couldn't document, you couldn't understand from 2D drawings. It was just unfortunately, deliverable that was required as part of our contracts. But I think we can, with the technology today, we can maybe move away from that, leverage models for constructability, but then also leverage AI to automate tasks, right? That is why AI exists and what it should be used for tasks that people are interested in. There was way too many times in consulting where I mentioned delivering a project where we use multiple technologies, just translating data from one file format to the other, for example, so that each team had the latest and greatest source of information for their specific, scope on the project. If we can leverage AI for a lot of that automation today, I think that's a win-win across the board.
Yeah. Construction documents, for those that are not in the industry, are probably the most annoying, cumbersome part of the project that I don't think anyone enjoys doing. Let me correct. I'm sure there's a few people that like putting construction documents together, but the majority of us probably do not like the act of putting those together. So being able to hit that make architecture button and it just adds all of the dimension strings that you need and all the notes would be super helpful. So I'm waiting for the day, but I don't know that it'll happen quickly, but I'm hoping that you're right over me being right. So Jared, let's go back to this 0 to 60 challenge. One, I wanted to emphasize, I did look up the application and it's one page. It's literally one page. And a majority of it is just putting in your contact information and kind of straightforward stuff. So it's super simple. I think try to apply and just throw it out there and see what happens. There's a very low barrier to get your application done. So I would say definitely check it out and try. And I'll have that link in the show notes. But German, what would you lay out or propose to people as the reason why they should try?
Yeah. So like I said, various startups need help in different areas. And I think to get to a point in our industry where we'd like to see a lot of the transformation, that a lot of this, the promise of these emerging technologies have to offer, for example, I think, large organizations like Trimble, Autodesk, and Procore can go at it alone. Startups can also solve specific problems in the industry and go at it alone. But I think by partnering, we can mutually benefit, right, from like startups who need customers, and share customers, but also being part of a large organization, like, integrating some of these emerging technologies can be challenging at times. Think about SketchUp, for example, which has millions of users. It's like a certain expectation when you open that software of what it looks like, what features you're going to find, right, included in that. If you were to try to redesign it overnight or even on a yearly basis, which is the cadence when you get a new release, and it looks completely different, or it's missing features, or now it's like, imagine if it was like ChatGPT, now there's like text-based interface, like people would freak out. And so being able to, work with startup companies and developing integrations together where you can have some of those capabilities that startups are developing alongside the products that our mutual customers are used to using and the products that Trimble creates, I think is really exciting to help with these workflows that I was mentioning earlier, you know, at the different phases of a project delivery, whether it be in conceptual design, schematic design, design development, construction documents, which talked about maybe auditing or even beyond, right? CA, operations and maintenance. We didn't talk a lot about those phases, but this challenge is really trying to focus on those three areas. So connected design, connected data, connected field and job site. It's one of the things I think Trimble accelerates at, being both hardware and software company. You know, it differentiates itself in that the hardware that we create is connected with the software. So bringing that as-built data as part of overall workflow and integrating some of these startup solutions, I think is the sweet spot. And that's why I think this program exists. The motivation behind creating such a program is to help startup companies scale, leverage large-scale company resources to drive that change in the industry instead of, you know, waiting until something else comes along and does it for us. Being able to steer that, I think, is super exciting for me.
And then I did want to just clarify, can people that have ideas apply as well, or do you need to be sort of on your way and have an actual established company?
Yeah, so the challenge asks the applicant, I think, to address the challenge criteria and propose how they plan to achieve that. So you can have an idea. Ideally, we're looking for pre-seed, C-stage companies, right, that might have a working product and less than $1 million in revenue, was founded in the last 3 to 5 years. So they have some customers that are looking to scale that up. So I think idea stage, right? So you're talking about maybe even somebody who has a day job and looking to start their own company with an idea. I think those are better suited maybe for like an incubator. And also as a side project, I think eventually, right, moving beyond the challenge. So we started as an accelerator program, moving beyond the challenge. We'd like to create a startup program, right, that would both service startup companies at the stage that I'm talking about for this challenge, but also service professionals who have an idea and would like to spin out into their own company and can access some resources to develop solutions. I think that would be an exciting future. We've seen some of that happen and some founders take that leap of faith. But if we can help, you know, offer resources to accelerate the development of solutions from people who are interested in starting their own companies, I think that would be an exciting future.
All right, Jervin, thank you so much. For those that want to find out more or to follow along, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, we can get more information on the Trimble website. So visit trimble.com and I can share a link to the challenge application. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn trying to be more active these days and sharing, you know, updates about this program and other initiatives that we're involved with. Otherwise, those are probably the two best channels to reach out.
Thank you so much, Jervin. Thank you to the listeners for listening. We'll talk again on the next one. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Spaces is brought to you by Lines, my Southern California-based architecture and creative studio that provides services focused on custom homes, home renovations, creative office, and specialty retail spaces. Find out more at lines.studio. That's lines.studio. If you learned something from this episode or think it would resonate with a friend, please share it and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps others find the show. If you have a question about the built environment or just want to share whatever is on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. You can do that at lines.studio/podcasts. Looking for similar content? Spaces is a proud member of Gable Media, a digital media platform where you can find even more content like this. Visit gablemedia.com, and that's GABLmedia.com. And lastly, before I go,
If you want to see additional photos, videos, clips, and other content from this episode, visit lines.studio/podcasts. Talk soon.
Small firm entrepreneur architects, get ready to build a better business with the Entree Architect podcast, where business meets architecture. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, the host of Entree Architect podcast. Join me every week for inspiring interviews with passionate people that share proven strategies to help you build a better business.
If you think there is a problem, one, you can't make a move until you have a plan in place. The accountability chart really helps plan, okay, for the business 6 to 12 months out, this is what we need.
We cover it all, from financial management to marketing, sales, productivity, and beyond.
There's two sides of it, right? So there's the one when you don't have any work. So you're like, well, I'm either going to charge enough to be profitable or I'm going to go out of business. Or you have so much work and you have backlog and you don't need any more work. So you charge way more.
I'd also say lagging measures, one of the best, like the best. So for any client, for any professional service company, if you're going to take one thing away from what we're talking about today, is to look at a number called the labor efficiency ratio.
Entree Architect is not just a podcast. It's your secret weapon for success. With over 500 episodes, it's one of the longest running architecture podcasts in the world. You're sure to find the information you need to elevate your business. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now and join the community of small firm entrepreneur architects building better businesses.